This is the Fantasy Football Tank Podcast with Mark Denton, Pablo Martinez, and here's your host, Alfredo Brown.
And welcome to the Fantasy Football Tank. This is, does anyone know what episode this is? Episode number, is that 16, 17, 18? I'm not sure. Anywho, I am your host, Alfredo Brown, virtually sitting alongside in the gulag, Mark Denton.
In the gulag.
And Pablo Martinez.
What up?
What's up? What's up? Obviously, you can tell it's a little bit different on the audio today. We're zooming it. We're zooming the podcast. Let's hope this works because it's going to be very different. So you might hear a little bit of a delay in us. You might hear a little bit of scratchy. Pablo's playing with his virtual backgrounds. It's a lot of fun. So, boys, let's get into the tight end movements that have happened here in the offseason. Also, some other big news that's happening around the NFL. Trades still going on. Rumors still coming out. Before we get into all that, guys, I just want to let all the listeners know, please go ahead, follow the show right now on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank. You can follow Pablo and be one of his new followers.
Yep.
At FFT Pablo on Twitter and Instagram. Mark, the people can follow you at dark_Menson. I see what you did there. You flip-flopped the first letters.
Very creative.
Very creative. So you can follow him at dark_Menson on Instagram and Twitter. And then you can follow myself at Alfredo A. Brown on Twitter and the IG. So let's get into the hard-hitting stuff, fellas. Last episode we did, we were talking about which Sour Patch flavor is the best on Pablo's poll. The people love Pablo's poll. So, Pablo, we put it out there. Which Sour Patch flavor is the best? We had the red, blue, yellow, green. Give us your analysis as to how this poll went. How was your poll?
Dude, so, yellow was robbed. Before Pablo speaks, yellow was completely robbed. So, just started off with that, and let me end it with that. It got robbed.
So that's wrong. The one that was robbed was orange.
Who wasn't orange? Yeah, orange should have been on there.
Yeah, orange wasn't even allowed to be. So you can only choose four for the poll. Twitter only lets you pick four things for a poll, and there's five Sour Patch flavors.
It's a small poll.
And yeah.
You've got a little poll, dude.
I've got a small poll.
Zing.
So orange wasn't in the poll, but I heard from a few people they liked orange. So in last place, we have, with 6% of the vote, we have green.
Travesty. Green is solid.
Yeah, I think it's okay. It's okay. Fourth place is fine. Next up, we have yellow with 18%.
Rob. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yellow's definitely shouldn't even be in this poll, but because Denton wanted it so bad, we put it in there. Then in second place, we have blue with 23%, which is a travesty because blue is hands down the best Sour
Easily
Patch.
The best. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I dream about blue Sour Patch. It's the fucking best. Oh, excuse me. Excuse my French. And red, we have red with 53%. So solid, easily the winner here. Everybody loves red, just like everybody loves red Gatorade. And everybody loves red.
I don't like red Gatorade.
I think that's such a basic move by our audience.
Yeah. Red is probably like my third pick on Gatorade. Maybe that's your next Pablo poll.
Does this say more about us, dude, or our listeners, how basic we are with these red? Like, is that just the kind of people we attract?
No, dude,
red Sour Patch people?
Red Sour Patch is amazing, first of all. Every Sour Patch flavor is amazing. It's just that yellow just happens to be not as amazing as the rest.
Okay.
But yeah, so damn, I love red Gatorade though. Maybe that'll be our next poll. We'll
see. Maybe Pablo poll. Mark it. But red's not going to win that one. Orange Pablo's, is going to win that one.
Pablo's poll. Good. Gatorade flavors. I love it. All right, boys, let's get into the NFL news and updates around the league. The big news that happened in between our last episode and this one is Bill O'Brien strikes again. The Texans have acquired wide receiver Brandon Cooks and a fourth-round pick in 2022 from the Rams in exchange for the number 57 overall pick in this year's draft. Gentlemen, instant reaction. Is this positive, negative, neutral? How does this move work for the Texans?
Bill O'Brien. You tell me.
Yeah, Bill. We got Bill O'Brien.
So I'm Bill O'Brien, right?
And you are Bill O'Brien.
I need to justify getting rid of this amazing wide receiver, the best wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. And so what I'm doing here is I'm finding another player that gets paid the same amount of money. And I'm bringing in, you know, that guy in order for people to chill out and be like, look, I'm bringing in another expensive receiver. And Brandon Cooks gets that same $16 million that DeAndre Hopkins gets. So the math makes sense. So that's why I did this, so that everybody else can calm down and know that I'm going to spend money on wide receivers.
Once again, your Bill O'Brien impersonation, spot on. Sound just like him. Also, that was the absolute dumbest reasoning ever behind a trade. That made absolutely no sense. That's like me saying, like, this steak costs $50, so I'm going to go to McDonald's and spend $50 on this burger so that people know what I'm about.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is,
this Bill O'Brien is an idiot.
Zero sense. This makes zero sense. Bill O'Brien strikes again and somehow just ruins something that should have never been. This is like when they were up 24-0 and still lost in the playoffs somehow.
Bam.
Dagger. Maybe that doesn't happen if you have Brandon Cooks.
What I'm thinking with this is what Bill O'Brien should have done is use that second round pick and get a stud receiver. Maybe Justin Jefferson drops in your hands, maybe T. Higgins, or maybe trade up for them. Maybe they become the next D-hop. You know, that's more of a upstyle. We'll use that word.
Upstyle?
To the future, upstyle, yep.
Can you explain upstyle, please? Because you use this word a lot. It's not an actual word. Like, it's not – you cannot find this in the dictionary.
You can. It's totally a Denton term. So upstyle is upscale but still has style on the pick. So –
so it's polishing a turd, basically, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah. Got it. Well, I mean, like, what I'm saying is if you got T. Higgins or Justin Jefferson trying to replace D-Hop, at least as a young draft pick, as a young opportunity wide receiver, I think that's a better placement than Brandon Cooks. So negative for me.
Yeah, honestly, this makes no sense. Again, you got a pick in return plus David Johnson for D-Hop, and now you're using that same pick to get Brandon Cooks as if all else was equal, including the math, which is not the case. So this makes no sense. You already have Kenny Stills, who will catch your long ball. You have Will Fuller, who will do the same thing. And now you have Brandon Cooks, who is the third guy doing the same exact thing.
So they're just going to do a lot of, like, junior high, everyone go deep.
Yeah, it's like I remember when I played Madden for the first time and I was losing.
Four verticals, baby.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw Hail Mary and bombs all the time. And I guess I need three receivers to do that. And that's what Bill O'Brien is doing. It's, you know, beginner Madden science.
Yeah, that's all I keep seeing on Twitter. Everyone posting like, all right, the new Texans playbook. Just halfback dive up the middle three times and then four verticals. And that's it. And they won't even punt. They're just going to be tossing it deep and letting David Johnson run up the middle. So, I mean, Brandon Cooks, like, listen, guys, this happens a lot in fantasy. We get this recency bias. So, before last season, it was a wash, right, with the concussions. Cooks was getting – he was averaging over 70 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 6.5 touchdowns per season. He was a productive fantasy receiver by all means. The problem now is he suffered 5 concussions in 6 years. He had 2 last year within a 25-day span. So we know that he has talent. Medically, though, if he has one more concussion, we could see a Jordan Reed type scenario where he just never even plays again. How risky of a fantasy option is Brandon Cooks? And if you are willing to take him, where are you willing to do that in your draft?
Yeah, so, I mean, let's be real, though. He's not quite yet at the Jordan Reed level, you know? Jordan Reed is like – he's like just glass, you know, like totally different. But Brandon Cooks could get there. I understand what you're saying. But he's not – he's – I don't know how old Jordan Reed is, but he's certainly had a lot more injuries going on simultaneously.
Well, for Jordan Reed, it wasn't so much the physical injuries. It was the concussions.
And right. It was the but he had the physical injuries too. He was just constantly broken. I think Brandon Cooks, yes, he has the concussions and he had a couple of minor injuries, but like I would say overall, he's I don't know.
My question is this is, well, it wasn't, we're not smart enough to get into the medical stuff, right? But, oh, that reminds me, we will have our own medical expert, Dr. Vig.
Can't wait for that day.
Cannot wait. That is official. He's going to be joining us on the podcast as we get closer into the season, going over injuries, what to expect. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's, that would have been cool to have us yet, though. He's out saving lives.
He is out saving lives. Yes. He's got a great mustache right now.
Yep.
Awesome.
Quarantine life. We got it easy sitting at home while the medical community is working hard.
Absolutely. The real heroes. But you know, back to the Brandon Cooks thing. The whole thing with him is, so we know he's talented. We don't know enough about the medical stuff. But when you bake in the risk of more concussions, how risky is he? Could you see yourself drafting him, first and foremost? Could you draft Brandon Cooks?
Yes, you can see yourself drafting him, but he's somewhere in my wide receiver 30 to 35 range. I'm not very high. I'm very cautious picking Brandon Cooks this year.
Yeah, I see him. This is ironic, but I see him the way I see Will Fuller coming into a draft. Like, the guy's probably not going to play the whole year, but if/when he does play, you could definitely feel good flexing him.
Okay, depending on the matchup. But like I said, there's four mouths to feed. Cobb, Stills, Cooks, Fuller. I mean, Deshaun only has one ball.
So then let's play this game. I'm going to give you guys some names of receivers, and you tell me who you prefer between them and Brandon Cooks, okay? All right, Julian Edelman.
Edelman for me.
Terry McLaurin.
Gary Terry for me.
Nah, with trash can. I'm going to take Cooks on this one.
DK Metcalf.
I'm going to take Cooks on this one.
Ooh. Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon for me.
Jeffrey, yeah, Alshon.
Oof. Let's take a look, man. Christian Kirk.
No, come on.
No, yeah. I'd pick Cooks.
Brandon okay, Cooks, okay. For sure. Deebo Samuel.
Cooks. Cooks, that's easy.
Cooks, but...
But it's not easy for Denton, it sounds like.
Not easy for me.
Yeah.
Matt, they lost Sanders, man. Deebo is the dude.
The dude. The Michael dude. Gallup, last one.
Cooks.
I pick Gallup.
All right, so right now, looking at Fantasy Pros, and this is something we're going to be doing as we go through the show, Brandon Cooks is ranked as the wide receiver 44. A lot of that is still just people that have not updated their rankings. There are experts that have him as high as wide receiver 16 going into this season with the Texans. I don't see myself putting him anywhere near that range. I personally will not be drafting Brandon Cooks. I don't like to go for those injury risk guys. Maybe someone coming off an injury, but not someone who consistently displays it. He's too much of a boom bust guy for me, so I'm totally staying away from him. Guys, the next piece of information here, we go from Cooks to Cook. Dalvin Cook believes he is the best running back in football. He is quoted saying, "I pretty much do it all. I don't have to come off the field. I think some guys just don't do as much as I do. And I think that's why I'm today's top back." Wow, strong words.
Yeah.
First and foremost, do you agree with Dalvin? Is he the top back in the NFL?
Yeah.
He is not.
CMC would like a word with.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
he's not the top back.
With that said, he's definitely the number two back for me. Dalvin Cook.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's between two and three for me. I can't pick between him and Zeke yet, but it's very close. I'd say he's between two and three for me.
Well, we're talking about fantasy production, not actually being the
correct.
Best.
Correct. Right?
Yeah. Fantasy production, I'd take Dalvin Cook all day.
I mean, I love Dalvin. I had him on my team last year. He was really good. I think whether it comes to fantasy or real life football, I have McCaffrey ahead of him. I have Saquon ahead of him. I have Zeke ahead of him. I don't think I can put Dalvin into that top three echelon just yet. But I think I have him solidly at four, just ahead of Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, guys like that.
Yep, but it's not just the running back skill. It's also the situation that they're in, right? So, like, the thing with Saquon is, do you really think that he's going to be able to continue to give you that, you know, top three production playing for the Giants, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. With Jason Garrett running the offense there, I mean, you got a rookie, or excuse me, former rookie quarterback finally coming into his own. I mean, we were talking about Saquon being the best running back in the league a year ago. He was the consensus top pick last year until injury struck. I mean, dude, just one year, one down year for Saquon with injury does not put him all the way below Dalvin Cook, who finally played a full year. I'm not there yet on Dalvin.
I understand, but again, I think that the reason why I'm bringing it up, because the situation, there were plenty of games where Saquon was not injured, and because the Giants sucked so bad, he just didn't put up the numbers. So I guess that's why I'm saying this, because yeah, Saquon is amazing, but the Giants are holding him back, and you know, Dalvin was not in that situation. He's not in that situation now, and that's why I just rank him higher, because you can trust Dalvin day in and day out, week in and week out, to give you those numbers. And with Saquon, you're still kind of flipping a coin. Like, you don't know what's going to happen with the Giants any given day.
That's rough. I don't know if we're saying that we're flipping a coin with Saquon. We'll agree to disagree on this. I think that a lot of people are going to have them ranked, you know, one right above the other. They're going to be very close. Guys, another running back who's not even close to being in the top three, Ronald Jones, the Bucks general manager.
I love when we speak about it. Love it.
No joke, baby. The Bucks general manager, Jason Light, claims that the team has more faith than ever in Ronald Jones. He says, we've got a lot of faith in Ronald. We have more faith in him than ever, and we ever have. I mean, I got choked up just reading that. Because I just don't.
More faith in Ronald Jones than ever. It's interesting because, you know, where does this faith come from? What has Ronald Jones delivered to
make
you
believe? Technically, he did a very political thing here. He didn't say we have a lot of faith in him, or that we have faith in him as the starter or as the bell cow. He said we have more faith in him than ever. So if you had very little faith in him last year and you have slightly more faith this year, does that really matter? I don't know. I mean, a lot of the reaction on Twitter was just a lot of Buccaneers fans sending laughing GIFs and just reacting with their head in their hands. I mean, just this is just – it's upsetting. It's flustering me right now just to even think that Jason Light is saying they have a lot of faith in Ronald Jones. Everyone, I think, still fully expects him to add a running back in the draft. Right, guys?
Yeah. No question.
Yeah, no doubt. I think they're going to go after a running back, and they'll probably take the starting spot by week four, if that.
Devontae Freeman would be lovely.
Pablo is Devontae Freeman. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in Ronald Jones going into 2020?
4 and declining as we speak. Very true.
You actually gave a positive number. That was very kind of you.
Yeah, thanks. You're going to go negative?
Yeah, I'm going to go like – not negative. Let me, you know, I'll give him some respect. I'll just say, you know, zero.
You'll give him some respect and say zero. Yeah, I think I'm just below Denton. I'm a 3 on the Ronald Jones meter. All right, guys. So moving on from a running back that we are not that high on to a running back that a few episodes ago we were all very high on, and now here comes Thomas Dimitroff, general manager of the Falcons, to come and just ruin everything that we said. So, newly acquired free agent running back Todd Gurley is going to be a part of the mix for the Falcons, not a workhorse, according to GM Thomas Dimitroff. This is on ProFootballTalk.com. Guys, this definitely changes the value for Todd Gurley going into the season. So, with that being said, where do you have him now? Because we were talking a lot about him being a top 15 back. Is he still there if he's not getting a workhorse load in Atlanta, a team that already does not run the ball a lot?
I had him as a top 12 guy. I had a lot of faith in him, and I still do. I don't want to take these words from, you know, Thomas Dimitroff. I didn't even know that was the GM's name. I don't want to take this guy's word and just say, hey, all right, now I'm going to drop him to, you know, low-end RB2 or whatever the case may be. I think that Gurley is still in an amazing situation. I don't think he's going to have to worry about, you know, losing too many touches to Brian Hill or to Ito Smith. I just think that regardless, Todd Gurley is going to produce. He's going to be in a great situation. And worst case scenario, his year is similar to last year. Last year.
Worst case scenario. You think that worst case scenario, he'll be the RB13?
Yes. Yes. He is playing for the Falcons, a very good offense. He is the guy in the backfield, and he's going to catch plenty of balls.
So you're saying we should just I don't think we can just totally ignore what Thomas Dimitroff is saying. Like, this is the general manager who makes all the decisions for the team. This sounds to me, especially saying this before the draft, that they expect to draft a guy and bring someone in to take the workload off of Gurley. And that's what worries me the most. I know that Dimitroff's not making the calls out of the field. You know, he doesn't control the flow of the game either. But, man, that definitely worries me. It's made me drop Gurley. I had him at running back 13. It's made me drop him down to 22.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've got him low. I mean, well, let me give you the names here, and you tell me who you put ahead of him or who you put behind him. So, Chris Carson.
Behind Chris Carson.
Gurley lower.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so Chris Carson is higher. Austin Eckler is higher.
Yes, yes.
Leonard Fournette is higher.
Yes.
Joe Mixon is higher.
No.
Oh, yeah.
We think he's higher. Right. Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Yes.
Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, for me.
Miles Sanders.
No, again.
So Miles Sanders, yes, for me, but I mean,
it's getting closer.
I think the draft plays a big role. Like Pablo said, Ito Smith and Brian Hill aren't going to be these game changers. They're going to take the workload. But if they do draft someone like DeAndre Swift, I am very scared. And then he's going to significantly drop in my list.
Yeah, if the Falcons take any one of those top three or four backs, whether it's Swift, Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that poses a big threat to what Todd Gurley's workload could be. And I think it definitely makes you have to push him way down the list. So that's where he sits for me right now, is running back 22. That might go up or down as the season goes, but maybe it's an overreaction to what the general manager's saying. You do have to follow these things as we go into training camp. That's something to take a look at as we get closer to the draft and into training camp. On the flip side, guys, another GM talking about a running back, Bills general manager Brandon Bean says that Devin Singletary definitely could be the workload guy. All right. The Bills only have two picks in the top 90 selections, so I don't think it's very likely they add a running back early in the draft. So where do you guys see Devin Singletary's range of outcomes for this upcoming season?
I think he will be the workload guy. I don't know why the general manager is saying that, maybe to spark a little light under him or something. But I think Devin Singletary has the biggest opportunity to have a blowout season this year.
Yeah.
Not an up style?
Up style, not yet. Not yet.
But a blowout. A blowout up style.
Blowout up style.
So yeah. I'm with Mark on this one. He already did it last year. Devin Singletary was already the guy last year, and he was explosive. He was really, really good. So the Bills have this, you know, strong, steady offense. You know what? Let me not say strong. Let me say decent offense.
But they've got a solid rushing offense that can move the ball.
Yeah, you know, Frank Gore's not there this year. T.J. Yeldon is not a threat. And Singletary, the backfield is his. He's great at catching the ball. He's going to make big plays. He's just a guy who you can trust. You can draft him as your RB2 or even your RB1 very easily, and you know that he's going to produce.
So you're saying you can trust him as an RB1 easily?
No. You can trust him to produce where you draft him. If you draft him as your RB1, obviously it's because you already drafted, you know, your first two picks, you drafted two receivers, for example. But, yeah, I could definitely see taking Devin Singletary in the third round very easily.
Okay.
Fair.
Well, that's going to actually – something that's what we're going to be doing on our next episode when we do our mock draft, our way too early fantasy football mock draft. We'll see if we can swipe –
it's never too early.
Devin Singletary from Pablo in the third round. All right, guys. So I just want to take this moment really quick. We've got our listener league coming this fall. It's going to be a 12-team league. We, as a show, the three of us, we are going to be co-managers for one team. That means there's 11 other spots available to listeners. So you ask, how do you become part of this league? It's very simple. You're going to go to whichever podcast app you're using right now. Click subscribe or follow. Okay. Leave a review or a rating. Once you've done that, screenshot that. Tag us on Twitter at the FF Tank. Once you do that, you'll be entered for a chance to be in the listener league and take one of those 11 slots. Listen, guys, it's 11 slots. There's not a lot of space in there. So the quicker you do it, the more likely you are to be in the league. So go ahead, go onto whichever podcast app you're using, take that screenshot, tag us on Twitter at the FF Tank. And once you subscribe, guess what? You're going to get notified as soon as a new episode drops. So for myself, for Mark, for Pablo, we'll see y'all next time. Bye.
Ciao.
Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank.